Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
So said President Obama on June 7th, the day after Britain's Guardian newspaper released documents about the National Security Agency's surveillance program. Here are some excerpts from NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden's statement about the leaks.
Even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded. And the storage capability of these systems increases every year. It's getting to the point you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call. And then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made. The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change.
And here's more from President Obama's June 7th answers to questions about surveillance.
By sifting through this so-called metadata, they may identify potential leads with respect to folks who might engage in terrorism. If the intelligence community then actually wants to listen to a phone call, they've got to go back to a federal judge, just like they would in a criminal investigation. So I want to be very clear. Some of the hype that we've been hearing over the last day or so, nobody's listening to the content of people's phone calls.
Confused about what's really going on with the NSA and government? Well, let's start with a little history. In 2003, I talked with journalist James Bamford, who'd just come out with a book about the NSA. Back then, he said the general public didn't know much about the National Security Agency by design.
NSA has a policy they call their policy of anonymity, and the whole idea is to try to keep as low a profile as possible. When I did The Puzzle Palace, my first book on NSA, I did a TV show with Senator Bill Bradley from New Jersey, who was on the show to talk about the economy. But in the car going over there, he said, "What's your book about?" And I said, "It's about NSA, the National Security Agency." And he said, "What's that?" So this is a Rhodes Scholar senator from New Jersey who I had explained what NSA was.
I want to repeat Senator Bradley's question then. What is the National Security Agency?
Well, it's the largest intelligence agency in the world, and its job is basically to eavesdrop on communications all over the world, to become America's big ear and listen to what people say different parts of the world, and if it's encrypted, to break those codes.
How is it done? Have they been successful?
Well, they were very successful during the Cold War because they spent almost 50 years focusing on one target, the Soviet Union and its satellite countries, basically. And it did a very good job. It could tell any time a plane took off in Russia, any time a door of a silo opened, they would know it immediately. But the problem is, once the Cold War ended, that technology to be able to do that didn't translate very well into tracking down terrorists. It's one thing to keep track of information in and out of a Soviet airbase or a Soviet naval port or a Soviet army command. It's a different thing entirely because those things are always pretty much fixed. You always know where it's going to be.
And they're big enough targets.
And they're big targets, and they always speak in the same basic frequencies, the same communications channels. It gets to be very routine. It's very different when you're tracking down a handful of people running around the world who don't communicate very much, and when they do, it could be from Kenya or it could be from southern Florida.
Well, also technology has changed in the last few years, hasn't it? The cell phone technology is so much more difficult to crack.
Well, digital technology is, It's information is sent along in packets, so it's not as though you could just listen to two ends of a conversation very easily. And at the same time, there's such a vast amount of information out there that hadn't been out there before. And it floods the ether with all this information. So you've got so much more out there.
10 years later, with a vast majority of Americans on cell phones and spending hours every day online, there's that much more information out there for the government to keep its eyes or ears on. One of the questions from 2003 that still lingers today is how the data that's collected through so-called listening posts is being used. Here's what Bamford said back then.
If you have all these listening posts and are each picking up about 2 million pieces of communications a day, you've got to get it down where a human being can actually read something and understand it. You know, the Secretary of State may be able to read three messages intercepted messages or three NSA reports during a normal day. But the point is, you've got to narrow all that down to a small enough amount that human beings can understand it and issue a report, and other people can actually read and understand those reports.
Now, they do, I assume, in looking at all of these communications that take place, they are looking at American citizens. They are looking at American correspondence.
Well, it gets more complicated than that. Actually, anybody in the United States is called a U.S. person, and they're not allowed to eavesdrop on a U.S. person.
Does that mean they don't do it?
No. What it means is that they can't do it without getting a warrant, and they have to get a warrant from a court, which is a secret court. Very few people have ever heard of this, but there's a secret court system that was set up. It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA Court. It was set up in 1978, and NSA has to get a warrant from that court to eavesdrop on a U.S. person. The problem is, since 1978, that court has never turned the government down on a request. And if it did, there is a thing known as the Foreign Intelligence Appeals Court, which has the unique distinction of being the only court in the United States never to have heard a case.
This gets scarier and scarier when you look at it, because it's an agency that can eavesdrop, but only if they ask a secret court, which doesn't have to tell us that it met,
right.
Except that there's an appeals court which has never been appealed to.
That's right.
And we can't look at what the records are?
That's right. It's a secret agency that goes to a secret court and who issues secret authorizations. That's right. That's the truth. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's all real. And I mean, to give the other side a little bit, the Justice Department does look very closely at some of these requests that come in and doesn't approve every one. And the Justice Department has turned down requests in the past. The only ones that they have turned down are the ones that have become controversial. They actually turned down one for Zachariah Massawi. So it isn't totally cut and dry, but when it does get to the court has never turned the government down on a request.
That was part of my conversation with journalist James Bamford 10 years ago, after he released his book about the NSA called Body of Secrets. If you want to hear more of that conversation, find the link at ttbook.org.